through life, cruising by on good looks and luck. Let me tell you something right now. It don't work that way.
There be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean.
Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die, and die.
Now, what are you gonna do?
Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Lord, make me fast and accurate.
You want the moon? Yeah. Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world now.
You're listening to the Parent Ministry Podcast. Here's your host, Jeremy Lee.
Hello, children's ministers. My name is Jeremy Lee. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. And I do like to say that because it rhymes. No, I don't know all of you, but I look forward to the chance to get to know a lot of you. A lot of you probably have talked to Mary Ann, our parent ministry specialist, who is kind of amazing at talking to you guys about your subscriptions and all the things that you get and enjoy as a part of parentministry.net. Michael Bain, you deal with him quite a lot when you talk to him about he and his wife Chelsea give a great leadership to the content that you guys receive each month, and they help give vision and make sure that that is exactly what you're needing. But my name's Jeremy, and I am the founder of parentministry.net. 2 years ago, I started it, and now we get to work with, goodness gracious, it's getting close to 800 churches, and wow, how fabulous is it, and what a ride it has been. And but I do look, I enjoy this opportunity to kind of sit down and talk with you and introduce you to a new subscriber each month. And the lady that we're going to talk to today, she is one of our subscribers. She's been one of our first children's ministry subscribers. So we wanted to make sure to include her on this member spotlight because it's meant so much to us how much she's believed in us from the very beginning. She's the children's director at Memorial Baptist Church in Jefferson City, Missouri. She spent about 9 years teaching in public schools, and then the past 5 years she's been serving at the church. The church is huge with local foster parent organization, and they're impacting parents all around the community. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to, and Michael will be interviewing her, I want to introduce you to Miss Carrie Sullivan. Take it away, Michael.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. So excited to have Carrie Sullivan with us today. Carrie, thanks for taking the time to be here on this edition of the podcast and the Member Spotlight. We are just so thrilled that you're here. I'm just going to go ahead and jump right in. Carrie, tell everybody how you became a kids pastor. You became somebody focused with your life, just investing in the next generation. How did you get there?
Well, I was in elementary education, and I decided I was going to stop teaching after 9 years, and our children's ministers here were leaving at the exact same time, and I had kind of given God a timeline of, I have insurance through August, so if you could find me a job between now and August, that'd be great. And so he intentionally waited until September 1st because I gave him a deadline.
Of course.
And they left on September 1st, and the church called me and asked me if I would be interested. And I said, oh, no, I do not want to be anybody's minister or pastor. I have no training in that. And they were like, organize the kids' classes and find volunteers and keep the craft room. You can do it. You'll be great. And so I really didn't get my calling or feel my calling until I started going to conferences and making the connection that there was more that I could do with this than I was doing. And I felt like that once I administratively really took hold of the job, then I could focus on what is my spiritual purpose to be here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So my call actually came after the fact, and felt it very strongly at that time, but it was it was not immediate. It was started out as a part-time job, and then they decided they did not want me to leave and quickly made it full-time. And so I've been here for 5 years now.
That's amazing. Okay, 5 years. I love that. And 5 years in the same church.
Yes.
That's amazing. I mean, can you tell everybody kind of the difference that you see in your influence now after having 5 years, going into year five versus mm-hmm. what you felt those first two? Because I think a lot of people, they unplug pretty quick because they're like, oh, this is tough, or they see another church. They move. Have you seen a difference in your influence with families and kids there now that you've had time?
Yes. At first, because I was a member here, my feelings were easily hurt. I didn't take criticism well because I was like, this is my church family. Why are they questioning me? And I was making significant changes in those first 2 years to building and safety and things like that. And so, now it's more of a, okay, well, here she goes again, but we'll at least trust her and we'll go with her. Mm-hmm. I have the support of my pastor. We've been through two pastors while I've been here, senior pastors. And so we've been through four youth pastors while I've been here and in some interim. And so the secretary and I have, and the custodian have been the three consistent staff members. And so that's been, it kind of gave me a little bit more clout and seniority because I was consistent. And so that also kind of helped solidify my position with the congregation, I think.
And that's so encouraging because it's just a reminder that as kids pastors that, and I think for kids pastors and student pastors, like we have a chance to really be a stable influence, spiritual influence in the lives of our families. Through lots of other transitions, I think a lot of people have been right where you're at, where their positions have come and gone. But the role, the spiritual role of a children's pastor or a student pastor can be such a great influence in the lives of families we lead when we stay. Okay, let me ask you this before we talk about parentministry.net stuff, because you are a subscriber and you've been with us since November, and I can't wait for you to unpack what you've already done. But what's your favorite part of kids ministry? Like, what fires you up? What makes you thrilled to go to work in the morning?
I love planning trips and events. It's my favorite. I love planning huge, elaborate events, not elaborate in decoration or money, but very intentional, thought out, ongoing, where the events build on each other. That is why I come to work every, I have a day of my week dedicated to my future planning. That's and awesome. I do my research on those days and contact people because I can't wait, otherwise it would consume my whole week. But I have to make myself have a day where I can just dream and think of new events or new ways to improve the events. And so that's my, like last night I was so excited to go tell the kids, I already know about our big truth trek week. And they were so excited to hear about it because they've been before and they had already been asking me for months, where are we going? What are we going to do? And I just love having them have something to look forward to and have them have such a life-changing event in their young life.
No doubt. So. It's that momentum, and that's so big. You want kids to feel that, like, oh, man, my church, this is what we do. This is what we're about. This is where we're headed. So that's awesome. Listen, let's go ahead and one of the things, you're at Memorial Baptist in Jefferson City, Missouri?
Is yes,
that right?
Sir.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that just stood out as I looked at your website was just a passion for adoption and for orphans work with the least of these who need homes, who need parents. Talk about how how have you been able to leverage the parent ministry side of this and what you do in your parent ministry to help that push from your church. Mm-hmm. How have you been able to connect those dots?
Well, we are actually on our property have a foster care association. And so they, they're a big part of our church. They're not a ministry of our church because they are not affiliated with any religious organization, but they are. And so they have all their trainings here. We do their child care for those events. We invite those foster families to every family event and every children's event that we have.
Wow.
So if we do a parent training, they're all invited, and it counts towards their hours of training that they have to do every year. If we have camp or anything, we do scholarships for all foster kids so that we can make sure we get those families involved. If we have an adoption support group on Mondays, also run through that organization. So really, we support them financially. We support them in supplies. We support them in volunteers and in space. And we also promote their message. But at the same time, we have kind of our own, we have to train our teachers a little differently to understand foster care kids. And we have to be aware of issues that are going to come up. We have to have heightened security, which I always fear is never enough. Our building is kind of a maze put together, and the kids are in the middle, and there's not one entrance and one exit. So we have to be really hyper vigilant with these kids in our building. And that's been kind of eye opening for some of the teachers.
Yeah.
And then also we want to support the foster parents as much as we can. So we try to help with respite events and things like that where they can have some time away. So,
incredible. So basically you partnered, though, with a local organization, which anybody could do.
Right.
Any church could do around the country. And then we'll get this in a second. Everything you're doing with your parent ministry that you've already launched is available for any of those parents.
Yep. We encourage them to – it's a resource to them, the parent toolbox on the website, anything like that's been sent out to them. They know they can call and ask any questions. We've built relationships with the foster families and Christmas parties and, you know, anything you can think of, we've tried to include them in so that even if this is not their church home, they can still come here for any kind of advice or help.
But to pull that off, you've really had to set your volunteers up to have that focus, haven't you?
Right.
Because it's not just, hey, we're going to help. What I've seen is we have some foster kids, foster parents in our church too, and it really does take a mindset shift for the volunteer, doesn't it? This is a kid you need to go the extra mile with,
right.
The extra mile. This kid has had a rough go. They haven't had all the same opportunities that a lot of the other kids in the room have had. You need to go the extra mile.
Right.
How do you set your volunteers up to go the extra mile? Do you just make them aware of the kids, or is it with specific like training that you do with them?
Well, I'm trying to improve that training with them with some training online for them. But really, it's just been they'll come and say, what's up with so-and-so, you know,
yes.
Or having trouble with so-and-so. And so then I'll say, well, let me give you the background. A lot of times I don't like to go in with the labels.
Yes.
As soon as the kid walks in the door, here's Tommy. He has all of these ADHD, blah, blah, A, B, C, D, E, F, G's. And so I really just want to see how he reacts in that environment first. But I will warn the volunteers if I feel like there's a security risk that they might try to leave the room.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really don't initially say anything. I want them to form their own opinion. And then I'll check in with them or I'll wait for them to check in with me saying, whoa, I don't know what to do here, or this is a behavior, or he hurt someone, or, you know, then we kind of work it out. My goal would be to have that whole, like some churches have a care team that have buddies for kids that are having trouble, but we're just not there yet. We're barely making our required volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Many churches are.
Oh, no church struggles with volunteers.
Stuff. The only ones. And so trying to get to that next level of care where it's just one-on-one for some kids is the next goal. But
that's exciting. That's just so exciting. We talk about that all the time, that we're the church, if we're going to become a hub for healthy parenting, just think outside the box, not just for the people who attend our church, but for our community. And that's mm-hmm. what we're launching through this. Let's talk about a little bit of what you're doing with parentministry.net and how you're building your parent ministry, because that's what we just partner with leaders like you around the country. What's your favorite aspect of what's happening, what you see? Because you have launched several aspects of this. What do you see making the greatest impact as far as what you're doing in your parent ministry right now? What resources are you using? What are the tools you're using? What are you seeing catch on and really help parents?
Okay. We've been doing the online parenting class for 3 months, and I've had feedback from 2 or 3 parents each time it goes out about, hey, that's my kid's issue. Then they want to talk a little bit more about that, or they'll ask me questions. One time we had the bullying month, and I had a parent ask me, what do you do when your kid's the bully? So I was able to contact you, and you wrote another blog about that, and so I was able to send that on to her. So what I've done is taken each month's lessons and moved them over to the parent toolbox when we're finished with them, so all the information is still available on the website.
Great idea.
And I have added topics that I find interesting or that I think they would find it helpful, about divorce or moving into a new home or pornography. I found a lot of resources about pornography for kids. Sometimes I find those on parentministry.net. Sometimes I find them on YouTube or through Facebook or different pages that I've liked. Anything that makes me take notice, I add it to that parent toolbox. And then when parents email me questions, I'll say, if you'll go to the parent, here's the link to the toolbox. There are many topics discussed there, but your topic is on there, and there are some resources available to you. And you can say that in the hallway in passing without having to try to counsel somebody in the hallway when you're late to class. But you can say, if you will email me or go to the website and pull up this parent toolbox, at least look at it, and then let's talk.
Absolutely. And, it becomes the parent hub. And that's what I've seen more and more. That's where we've landed, too, as a church. Like, oh, we just need a specific place on our website that is the parent hub for any parent that you just get. And I love that you said you're finding that aspect of finding resources from all over the place. That's exactly how we feel, too. You know, it's like we don't have the market cornered on resources for parents because it's such a big deal. There's lots of voices that we have to kind of hub and get to our parents because we don't know. And I love that you're getting feedback too. That's just incredible. And when you do, what I love is that you become kind of the expert from the parent is seeing the church as a valuable place to go, you know, which is unbelievable. Because that's what we see. The parents live month to month. Basically, we're trying to help them not do that and think preemptively, but when they see their issue come across, God uses that. And they come back to you. What do you think from your perspective? And this is kind of the last question and we'll wrap up. But what do you think parents really need from kids pastors today? Like, you've been in this role for 5 years, you know, what are you learning as you get your hub set up and you get resources for parents? What do you think parents are really needing from leaders like you?
I feel like they just need simple reminders throughout their week or even month that of small things they can do that make a difference in their kids' spiritual life. And I don't think it needs to be big, overwhelming programs. I mean, we have Awana. We have all those things that people can do as much or as little as they really want to do with that. But I just mean something at like bedtime blessings. You know, we focused a lot last year on bedtime blessings. And my kids cry if I don't give them a bedtime blessing.
Yeah.
You know, they want it. And they, you know, they'll do anything for it. And if I'm gone, I have to leave one on paper because it means that much to them.
Yeah.
And so using, you know, trying to implement those things into my own life makes it more personal for the parents. Mm-hmm. I also am pretty open about sharing my failures, which I think is very helpful in keeping conversation going. A funny story from your week can help them realize that, hey, you know, we are all screwed up anyway, but we're just doing the best that we can, and our kids are going to survive, and, you know, but we want them to thrive. And so what little things can we do? You know, prayer, you know, we've started a little prayer tree at our house, and I shared that, and a couple of parents have picked that up. And not that we are at all the spiritual experts of raising children. We are also barely surviving most days. But when I make something intentional, my kids notice. Yeah. And so that's what I try to tell them, that it will mean something to them if you take the time to do small things with them.
That's it. And as kids pastors and student pastors, our family is the lab, and we get to
unfortunately,
which great, because we admit to parents, hey, we don't have it all together, but we're gonna try some things too. Like, we're gonna try some real practical things, and that's just so, so encouraging. Well, I'm so thankful that your church is partnering with adoption agencies and foster agencies in your community. That's just such a great reminder for everybody. And I'm just thankful for what you're doing. We want to build community here. Tell everybody listening, like, how they can get connected with you if they have any questions for you.
Our church website is www.memorialchurch.net.
Great.
And, of course, they have a staff page, and my email's on there. It's Carrie, K-A-R-I, at memorialchurch.net. We like to keep it simple.
There you go.
And, of course, I'm on Facebook, and so is the church. You can always search for those things. And, we're open for any discussions. We love foster care and adopt, and we had to start at the bottom of that and claw our way through it. And so we would be glad to give anybody a hand up in that before they start. So
that's so, so incredible. Carrie, thank you for taking time to be with us. And thanks, everybody, for checking this out and listening. And we're praying for all of you out there listening as you help parents pass down their faith to the next generation. So thanks for being with us. Mm-hmm.
Our hearts are bowing in reverence, and we're surrounded by the glory of your presence.